Morning, everyone. Since this coming week's parsha has a pasuk in it which serves as the source of Kiddushei Kesef, I thought we'd spend a few moments this morning talking about some of the halachas of the wedding ceremony. According to Torah law, a Jewish marriage is consummated in two different stages. First there's Kiddushin, and then there's what's called Nisuin. How do we accomplish Kiddushin? The Mishnah at the beginning of Masechta Kiddushin, in source 1, says, "Ha'isha niknes b'sholosh drachim b'kesef b'shtar u'b'bia," that a woman can be acquired through Kiddushin, either with kesef, with money, shtar, the document that says hareya mekudeshesli, or bia. What's the source of Kiddushei Kesef? That's the pasuk in this week's parasha, "Nasate kesef asada kach mimeni." We learn "Gzereshava kicha kicha mistayefam kikach ish isha." That's the source of kesef Kiddushin. And shtar has its own source, and bia as well has its own source. The Rama writes that bizman hazeh, our minig is to be makadish with a tabas. We're makadish with kesef, not with shtar or bia. Actually, not kesef, but shove kesef, something that's worth kesef, not actually money. V'chaynog in makadish b'tabas, v'yesh lehem tam b'tikunei zohar. The Rama says the minig is to be makadish with a tabas, with shove kesef. What's the reason for that? A tam al pi kabbalah based on a tikkun ezar. But the Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Tavkuf Nun Beis suggests that maybe there's a tam al pi nigla as well. Not just al pi kabbalah, but there's a tam al pi nigla that Nogu Yisrael Lekadosh B'tabas Lios B'yodah Tomid L'mazkeres, that the purpose of being Mekadosh with a ring is so that the woman will have a constant reminder that she's in a suah, that she's married. If only Mekadosh with Kesef, then she can use up the money. But if you're Mekadosh with a ring, so that remains on her hand, La'olam Void, it's a constant reminder to her that she's married. It's a reminder for her, and a reminder for other people as well. So that's why the minig is developed that we're Mekadosh with a tabas. Tosas in Kiddushin on Daftes points out that our ring, the wedding band that we use, is a simple wedding band. It doesn't have any engravings on it. There's no stone on the ring. Why do we do that? Because the Gemara says that Shiroi Tzrichi Shuma, we pass from that if you're Mekadosh a woman with silk clothing whose value is unclear, so it needs a professional appraisal, it needs a Shuma, because we're afraid that if you don't have an appraisal, the woman might be accepting the Kiddushin only because she thinks that the Shiroi are worth a lot of money. So she thinks she's getting a good deal over here. So there's a lack of Smichas Das, because if the Shiroi are not worth as much as she thinks, then she doesn't have a full das for the Kiddushin. She doesn't have full consent. Sounds a little bit strange. You know, she's marrying a person. But okay, the Gemara is assuming that we want the woman to have full consent for the Kiddushin. And part of the consent that she needs is for the Kesef Kiddushin, for the Shava Kesef Kiddushin. So Taizen Kiddushin says that similarly, if you're going to be Mekadosh and Isha with a ring that has Avonim Tovos on it, some kind of precious stone, since it's very hard for her to estimate the value of the stones, maybe she's accepting the Kiddushin because she thinks the ring is worth so much money, so there's a lack of smichas das, a lack of full consent for the Kiddushin. So our minig is not to be mekadosh with a ring that has any stone on it or any engraving. It's a simple ring. Simple ring. The wedding band is a simple ring. And in fact, the minig is that the tzaddik Kiddushin asks the Edom if the ring is worth a shavah pruta. He actually has two questions under the chuppah. First, he turns to the chassan and he asks him, "Did you buy the ring with your money? Is it yours? It has to be shalom. If it's not shalom, he can't be mekadosh and isha with it." But secondly, he turns to the edom and he asks them if it's a shaveh pruta. What kind of a question is that? He's not cracking a joke under the chuppah. Well, what's the question? The question is not really for the edom. The question is for the kala. He's addressing it to the edom because he doesn't want to embarrass the kala. It's uncomfortable to ask the kala this question. But really, the question is for the kala, just to ascertain that she's accepting the Kiddushin even if the ring is only a Shaveh Pruta. She's not thinking that maybe the ring is worth a lot of money. She's accepting the Kiddushin even if the ring is only worth a Shaveh Pruta. That's the purpose of that question. So for the same reason, Tosa says, the Minig develop, that we try to keep the ring as simple as possible so she doesn't have any delusions over here. She doesn't think it's worth so much money. It's worth whatever it's worth. We're $50 worth to $75. Not a significant amount of money, so clearly she's going to be accepting the Kiddushin because she wants to marry the man, not because she's getting a good deal in the ring. Already from the time of Kiddushin, the woman is an Eishes Ish. If she's Mezana, she's Chayav Misa. If she wants to marry someone else, then the Kiddushin, then the Ishus has to be dissolved with a get. So she's really an Eishes Ish for all intents and purposes. But she's not a full Eishes Ish. What do I mean? It's clear from the Psukim in the Torah that after Kiddushin, even though a woman is an Eishes Ish for certain halachas, but she doesn't have a full din of an Eishes Ish. L'moshel, the Pasuk in Parsha Shoftim, in Source 5, the Pasuk is talking about different people who don't have to go to battle. So one of them is Umiha Isha Sher Eras Isha V'lo L'kacha Yelech V'yoshav L'Vesa. Someone who is Eras Isha V'lo L'kacha, he did Erasin, that's what we call Kiddushin, but he was Lo L'kacha, he didn't do L'kuchin. So he goes home, he doesn't go out to battle. What kind of a strange case is this? He did Erasin, but it's not L'kuchin. Sounds like there's a middle ground that you can have Erasin, you can have Kiddushin, but yet the woman is not a full Eishes Ish. So that's what the Mefarshim point out, that the Pasuk is alluding to this idea of Nisuin, that there's a second stage to the kinyan of Ishus. That even after Kiddushin, although the woman is an Eishes Ish for certain halachas, the fact that she's Chayav Misa and she needs a get to dissolve the Kiddushin, and also Minat Torah, the Gemara says that she can eat Truma. Chazal did away with that. They had certain concerns that maybe she'll share the Truma with her family, that's not Kohanim, because she's not living in her husband's home yet, but Minat Torah, she can even eat Truma from the time of Kiddushin. But the fact is, Nisuin is a second stage. Likuchin is another stage where she becomes an Eishes Ish Gemura. What's an Afkamina between Nisuin and Kiddushin? What happens at the time of Nisuin? So, the Gemara on Daf Yud, it's clear that there were at least three nafkemina. The Gemara in Source 6 has a very interesting shaila. Gemara says, let's say a person is mekadesh anisha bebia. So what happens? We know that bia can do nisuin and it can do erisin. If a person is mekadesh anisha with kesef, so then he can do nisuin through bia. But let's say he's mekadesh bebia. So maybe bia can accomplish everything in one fell swoop. It can do both Kiddushin and Nisuin with one Maisa. Or do we say, no, the Bia does Kiddushin, then he has to do some other Maisa to do Nisuin, maybe another Maisa Bia, or some other action. That's the Shaila of the Gemara. Can Bia do both Kiddushin and Nisuin in one fell swoop? Or do we say, no, it does the Erisin, and then you need another Maisa? What's an Afkamina frak the Gemara? What's the difference whether it does everything in one fell swoop or not? So the Gemara gives three. Says, first of all, that after Nisuin, if we were to assume that Bia even does Nisuin, after Nisuin, the husband is able to be Yorish's wife. If she passes away, then he inherits her. If they only did Erisin, if she's only a Mekudeshes, then he does not inherit her. Her family would get the money, if she has some kind of money. After Nisuin, she's completely in the Rishus of the husband, so therefore, the husband would inherit her. And similarly for Tumah, if the husband is a Kohen, after Nisuin, the husband has a mitzvah to be Matame to his wife if she passes away. But Bishas Erisin, he doesn't have that mitzvah. She's not a full Eishes Ish, so the husband cannot be Matame to her if she passes away. And thirdly, if she takes a neder, so after Nisuin, the husband is made for that neder. If she takes a neder before Kiddushin, then her father is made for the neder. And if she takes a neder after Erisin, then the father and the Baal have a shutvis. The father and the Oris have a shutvis. Then made for the nether together. But if she takes a nether after Nisuin, then the Baal is made for that nether by himself. So these are the three nafkamina between Kiddushin as opposed to Nisuin. What's the Tzad HaShove? What's the idea that Nisuin makes her an Eishes Ish Gemura? Rabbi Shechter is fond of saying that the difference is that Kiddushin creates the status of an Eishes Ish, but she's an Eishes Ish Shelo Beveisabal. She's not living in her husband's home. In fact, at the time of the Gemara, they used to have 12 months between the Erisin and the Nisuin. The Mishnah in Kiddushin says, the Mishnah in Ksubis in Source 8 said, Nosnim levesula shnema sachodesh mishitav abala farneses atzma. It used to be they would give her 12 months to be farneses atzma to get the dowry together. They give the husband 12 months also. He had to get himself together. There would be a break between the Kiddushin and the Nisuin. And then at the time of Nisuin, after the 12 months, then the Baal would actually come and get the wife from Beis Avia, or he'd send his shliach to bring her from Beis Avia to his home, and then she'd be living in his home. So that would be the status of Eishes Ish Beveis Abal, that's the status of Nisuin, be fully married. But before that, from the time of Kiddushin, she's not fully married, she's not Beveis Abal. The Pasuk says, V'chiper bado uva'ad beiso, beiso zo ishto. Beis Abal, that refers to the Isha, but in Isha Nisua. The Pasuk in Parashas Matos in Source 7 says, in Beis Isha Nadara, if she takes a neder in Beis Isha, So then the Baal is made for that neder. She's b'shus Baal. The Baal has control over all the dharm of his wife. So he's made for a neder that he doesn't like. Beis Isha, it sounds like this halacha takes effect when she's b'veis Baal. And that's exactly the difference. Once she's a nesua, then she's b'veis Baal. If she's a mekudeshes, so she is an eshes ish. Min haTorah, she can eat truma. If she's mezana, she'll be chayiv misa. To dissolve the marriage, you need a get. She is an eshes ish, but she's not b'veis Baal. So certain halachas will not apply to her. How do we accomplish nisuin? How do we do nisuin? So the Gemara alluded to the fact that maybe Bia can do nisuin, but that's not the normal, that's not the conventional way that we do nisuin. So what exactly is the way that we do nisuin to make the woman b'veis Baal? So the Gemara refers to nisuin with the term chuppah. That's the more common lashon that we have. Chuppah. But the question is, what is a chuppah? Is it what we colloquially call a chuppah? A canopy? The four sticks and the canopy on top, or is it something else? So there are many different shittas that the Rishonim quote. The Rambam in Hilchas Kiddushin collects a lot of these different shittas, the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchas Ishus in Perek Yud is a famous shita. He assumes the chuppah is yichud, when the husband and wife are secluded together. They're secluded together in a room. They have yichud, as the Rambam says, a yichud haroi lebiya. Has to be yichud that can lead to bia. It's not that the bia takes place in the yichud room, but it's roi lebiya. So that's enough to establish nisuin. Then she's called b'veis Baal. Then the woman is considered an eshes ish b'veis Baal. This is what the Shulchan Aruch pasuk did. Suas 9, v'yichud zehu nikra kenisa l'chupa v'hu anikra nisuin b'chol makom. This yichud is called kenisa l'chupa. That's what the Gemara is referring to when it says chupa. And that's nisuin. Chupa is nisuin. They're completely interchangeable. According to the Rambam, a woman couldn't be a nesua, she couldn't enter into yichud with her husband if she's asura to him. L'mashal, if she's a nida, if the woman is a nida at the time of the chasana, a chuppas nida, according to the Rambam, is not going to be kona. Why not? Because if chuppah is defined as yichud haroi labia, she's not ruuya labia if she's a nida, so then the yichud is not going to be chal. It's not going to be chal. Forget about whether they can have bia together, but if it's not roi labia, then the whole chuppah, she's not a complete nesua. She won't be a complete nesua. So it's very important that the woman not be a nida, because the chuppas nida is not going to be kona according to the Rambam. Similarly, according to the Rambam, it's very important that the ksuba be a kosher ksuba. Why? Because Chazal have a takana. Chazal established that a woman is not allowed to live with a man unless she has a ksuba. Right? That a husband is not supposed to live with his wife without a ksuba, because we're afraid that if there's no ksuba, it shouldn't be easy for the husband to divorce his wife. He feels like, okay, they'll spend time together, but if he wants to divorce, it'll be very easy. It's not a big deal. But if he has a ksuba to pay, so then he's less likely to want to divorce her. So Chazal wanted to ensure that the relationship between husband and wife will be a strong one, that it won't be easy to dissolve. So therefore, they instituted that a husband is not allowed to be with his wife without a ksuba. So according to the Rambam, if she's asura labaila without a ksuba, then the yichud is not going to be kona unless she has a ksuba. Right? It's just like a chuppas nida. Chuppas nida is not going to be kona because she's asura labaila. A woman without a ksuba, midrabonin, is asura labaila, so she needs a ksuba as well in order for the yichud to be chal. This is a very important din, because if there's a mistake in the ksuba, let's say the person reading the ksuba, the chasana, finds a mistake in the ksuba. A mistake in the names, or a mistake in the place, or maybe the kanina was left out. You know, it is left out in the ksuba. Some misadri kedushin actually fill it in before the chasana, because they're afraid so much is going to be going on at the chasana, they might forget to fill it in. If they forget to fill it in, the ksuba is technically possible. So the whole shaila is, if you leave it out, can you fill it in with the consent of the edim? As long as the edim agree, can you fill it in even after the edim have signed? But you have to fill it in before the yichud. If the ksuba is psula, so then according to the Rambam, there shouldn't be a yichud, because she's a surah labayla without a ksuba. It's something to keep in mind. Now, according to the Rambam, yichud chup is yichud haroi labia, so she has to be muteras labayla. She can't be a nida. The ksuba has to be a ksuba kshera. What's more, they have to stay in the yichud room for a zman that's a shir tumah, that they can have bia together. It has to be roi labia. What's a shir tumah? Big machlokas in the poskim. Whether it's 5 minutes or 7 minutes or 9 minutes, they're different shiurim, but there has to be a shir tumah because of this sheet of the Rambam. It's not just yichud stam, but yichud haroi labia. So taka has to be roi labia. Well, it's more some of a chumra that maybe the chassan has to acquire the yichud room from the caterer. He has to have some kind of a kinyan. Some of the achronim on the side of the Shulchan Aruch have such a chumra that he has to acquire the yichud room from the caterer. Why? Well, if the purpose of the yichud is to make the woman into eishes ish beveis habaal, so the yichud room has to be beis habaal. It has to be at least rented to the baal. He has to own the cheder. So others say that you don't have to make a kinyan with the caterer. You know, it's not necessary to do an explicit kinyan. Why? For one of two reasons. Either because it's understood, since the chassan and the chassan's family are paying a lot for the chassana, right? The chassanas can cost a fair amount of money. So mistama, the caterer, is giving the chassan everything he needs in order to consummate the marriage. Right? So if he needs to own the yichud room, then the caterer has in mind that he should own the yichud room. That's what some want to suggest. So even if there's no explicit kinyan, he taka owns it anyway. Others say that it's not necessary for the chassan to actually own the room. As long as it's designated specifically for the chassan, that's called his room, that's called his bias. It doesn't have to be actually owned by the chassan. So as long as the room is designated for chassan and kala, and it is, right? The yichud room is designated for chassan and kala, it's miyuchad for the baal, so it's miyuchad for the chassan, then that should be enough to be kona the wife, to make her into nesua, according to the Rambam. Okay, this is one sheet as to what nisu and what chuppah is, that it's a yichud haroi labia. It has to be a yichud, the chas and the kala are secluded together in a way that they could have bia. That defines the woman now as an eshes ish bevei sabah. The Ramah quotes other opinions as to what the chuppah is. V'yesh omrim, says the Ramah there in source 9, the chuppah ain't a yichud, ela kol she'evia ha'chasen leveso l'shem nisuin. The chasen has to bring her home. He brings her home. That's when the nisuin takes place, not at the chasana. Different things at the chasana, but it's really taking her home into his house. That's really what's called nisuin. That's the second opinion of the Ramah. And then the Ramah later says, "Haminik poshet achshav likros chuppah magam shemachnisin sham yiriyah prus al gabe klunsos machnisim tachtei hachosan vehakala berabim." What's a chuppah? What do we call chuppah? That you have the klunsos, you have the sticks and the canopy over that, the yiriyah over that. They walk under that chuppah, and that's a symbolic eishes ish bevei sabal. It's not that the chuppah really is a bias, but it's a symbolic bias. So we look at it as though when the chosan and kala stand under the chuppah, that's like the kala is in the bias of the chassan, and she can become an asur, she can become a full eishes ish. There's an opinion of the Mordechai that's also quoted, that maybe what chuppah is mishiyatzas beheinuma, when the kala goes out with something covered on her head. That's what we call badekin, when the chassan badeks the kala, when he covers over the kala with the veil. So that also might be considered nisuin. How's that bevei sabal? The answer is, again, she's not entering into his home, but it shows she's entering into a different status. It's a symbolic entrance into Beis Habal. So that as well might be considered chuppah, that might be nisuin. That once he badeks the kala, once he covers the kala with the veil, so that demonstrates that she's not just a mekudeshes, but rather she's in a sua, she's a full-fledged eishes ish, and that might accomplish the status of nisua. So as we mentioned, the Mishnah and Ksubas pointed out that at the time of the Gemara, they used to have a 12-month interval between the Kiddushin and the Nisuin. They gave both parties time to get ready for the Nisuin. But Bizman Hazeh, we do them both at the same time. We do the Nisuin either a little bit before the Kiddushin or a little bit after. If the Nisuin is the Badekin, we're doing it a little bit before the Kiddushin, because the Kiddushin takes place under the Chuppah. If the Nisuin is the Chuppah, what we call, you know, standing under the canopy, so that's done both a little bit before the Kiddushin and a little bit after. And if it's yichud, then that's certainly done after the kiddushin. So some have a kasha. Some raise the shaila. How can it be that the badekin is viewed as the chuppah as the nisuin? It's out of order. You're doing the nisuin before the kiddushin. So how does that work? Now, if you assume that the kiddushin and the nisuin are two different kinyonim that consummate the marriage, that together she becomes a full eishes ish, the chord has to be done in the right order. First stage is kiddushin, and then you do nisuin. How can she be a full-fledged eishes ish before she got to step one? Seems a little bit strange. So the truth is, the Mordechai in Kiddushin quotes from a Tshuvas Rashi that the Seder is not ma'akev. Rashi felt that the Seder doesn't matter. This is in Source 10, a very interesting shaila. Uba ma'isa lefnei Rashi be'echad shekiddush v'nimtza echad eide kiddushin karov aloha yashava pruta. Rashi had a case that came before him that one of the eidim were pasul, right? Karov a pasul. There wasn't a shavu pruta. The ring taka was not worth a pruta. Amazing, right? I guess he didn't ask the Adam the question, right? The ring wasn't worth a pruta. The heishiv, and Rashi says, "Avol bishitzar lekadosh pam acheres in tzarik lo knisas chupa v'lo bracha acheres shel erisin v'nisuin." You don't have to redo everything. You don't need another knisas chupa or birchas erisin birchas nisuin. Just do the kedushin again. The avol bishitzar lekadosh pam acheres v'nimtzah shoyis achupa kodem akedushin ma bekach. Rashi says, even though you're doing another kedushin, it turns out the chupa was before the kedushin because you're not redoing everything. So what? The seder is not makiv. It's not necessary. To lechor it's a pella. Why is that really true? Why did Rashi assume that the seder of kiddushin and nisuin is not ma'akev? If you would ask me, I'd say it should be ma'akev. Kiddushin creates the first stage of ishus. Nisuin creates the second stage. How can you reach the second stage before the first stage? You can't get to second base before first base. So how does this work over here? There's someone to suggest that perhaps if we understand how Nisuin is working, then we might appreciate that the Seder is not Ma'akev, that you can do Nisuin first. The question is Nisuin really a separate Kinyan? Do we assume that Ishus really is composed of two different Kinyanim? A person is doing a Maisa to achieve the Kinyan of Dushin, and he does other Maisim to achieve the Kinyan of Nisuin. Should we say no, that really the Kinyan of Ishus is a Kinyan of Kiddushin? That's the Maisa Kinyan. The Kiddushin, the Kesef Shtar Ubiya, that's really the Kenyan of Ishus. It's just that before Nisuin, before the woman is Bevei Sabal, there's an impediment that prevents the Kenyan of Kiddushin from completing itself. It can only go halfway. If she's not Bevei Sabal, then the Kenyan of Kiddushin cannot be consummated completely. But once she's Bevei Sabal, once you have brought her into the house of the Baal, you've created a matzab, you've created a state of being where she's Bevei Sabal, so then the Kinyan of Kiddushin can be completed, it can be consummated. Mimela, the Kinyan of Kiddushin, is going to be consummated. So according to the second approach, the concept of Nisuin is not a Kinyan at all. It's not that the Baal does something to create a Kinyan. Rather, he did a Kinyan of Kiddushin. It's just the Kinyan of Kiddushin is mitla toli v'koy. It's hanging. It's in a mid-stage, so to speak. It can accomplish some things, but it can't accomplish everything because she's not Beis HaBaal. But once you bring the woman into Beis HaBaal, you've now created a stage, a state of being that she's an Eishes Ish Beis HaBaal, so the Kinyan of Kiddushin can complete itself. So it can be chal, it can take effect for the other inyanim as well. Yes?
Just real fast, the Minchas Asher also raises that point. He says that chupa shows the mitzvahs, and that's it. So everything is from the Kiddushin.
Okay. Rabbi Shech also wanted to suggest such an idea. And he quoted that the Rav, Rabbi Soloveitchik, wanted to say that this is Pshat in Atosis and Kiddushin. Because the Gemara in Kiddushin on Daf Yud has a Shaila about Kiddush Ebiya. Many different Shailas about Kiddush Ebiya. Yes. 11, in source 11.
Please.
The bottom of that page. Yibaya lehu tchilas biyakona osov biyakona. When it comes to Kiddush Ebiya, what is kona? Is the tchilas biya haro'a, the beginning of the biya, is that going to be kona? Or do we say no, sov biya? There has to be a gemar biya in order for the biya to be kona. Very strange idea. What's the nafkamina? So the gemar first gives a sort of a strange nafkamina that we'll leave out. And then it says, Nafkamina la kohen gadol dekani basula bebiya. We know that a kohen gadol has to marry a basula. So the Gemara suggests, a nafkamina, if the kohen gadol marries a basula bebiya, is that a problem? Because if he's kone betchilas biya, then that's great. Then he'll be kone her when she's still a basula. But if he's only kone begemar biya, she's not a basula anymore, that might be a problem. That's the Gemara's nafkamina. That if you assume that sof biya is kone, then a kohen gadol will not be able to be kone a basula bebiya. Because there's an issa for the Kohen Gadol the Kohen Gadol has to marry Basula Dafka. There's an issa for him to marry a Ba'ula. She'll be a Ba'ula, because Mitchilas Bia, she already is a Ba'ula, but he's not going to be Kona her until Sov Bia. So what's the maskana of the Gemara? Kola Boel Daito Al Gemar Bia. That we assume the das of the individual when he's Boel is on Gemar Bia, so he's only going to be Kona B'Sov Bia. It sounds like he really could have been Kona B'Tchilas Bia if his das were on that. But his das is only on Gemar Bia, so therefore he's only going to be Kona B'Sov Bia. So Tosus asks a very important question. Tosus says the Gemar in Yevamis assumes that an Isha is Niknes Labaila B'Haro'a. Gemar is Gzera Shava to assume that a woman can be Niknes Labaila B'Tchilas Bia. So how can our Gemara assume? The Gemara in Kedushin Anaf Yud assumes L'maisa the kolabol night of algamar bia. That when a person's mekadoshin isha bekidusha bia, then he's kohen b'sof bia. But the Gemara in Yevama says explicitly that a woman is nignes labayla beharo with chilas bia. So Tosfos gives four different answers to this kasha. He quotes the Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon at the end. Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon tirets in the second line. The ahidi yevamas ari achar kedushin. The al yedei osa hara hare havi kinesua kemo chupa de la achar kedushin. That's talking about the Gemara Yevamas is talking about nisuin, the bia of nisuin. The bia of nisuin. Then the woman becomes a full nisua through the hara. That even betchilas bia she can become a full nisua. But kiddush bia is only bigmar bia. The chiluk says the Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon is between kiddush bia as opposed to bias nisuin. For bias nisuin, the bia can accomplish the status of nisuin mishas tchilas bia. But when it comes to kiddushin, then the bia is not going to accomplish anything until sof bia. The question is, what's the Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon saying? What is the chiluk between kiddushin as opposed to nisuin? So the Rav wanted to suggest. He had this in his in an article that he wrote in a hesped that he gave for the Brisker Rav. So he wrote up the hesped later, and in the footnotes to that hesped he develops this yesod. The Rav wanted to suggest Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon assumes that nisuin is not a separate kinyan. Nisuin is just the removal of the impediment that prevents the kinyan kiddushin from being chal completely. That when the woman is not bevei sabal, then you can only accomplish so much with the Kinyan Kiddushin. But once she's Bevei Sabal, then the Kinyan Kiddushin can be Chal completely. So that's what Nisuin does. What it does is it brings the woman Bevei Sabal, it removes the impediment for the Kinyan Kiddushin, Memela, that Kinyan can be Chal completely, it can be consummated. So that's exactly what the Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon is saying. When do we claim that a person can make a Tanai? He can stipulate that he wants a Kinyan to be Chal only at a certain period of time. Only if certain things happen. When can a person make a tanai? That's only if the chalos, what he's trying to accomplish, is dependent on him. If it's dependent on his das, if it's dependent on his consent, so then he can make a tanai. He can stipulate in his das. He can say, I don't have das for this kinyan, for the chalos to take effect, unless something happens, unless a certain stage comes. That's only if the chalos is dependent on him. But if the chalos is not dependent on him, then he can't stipulate anything. As long as he did whatever is necessary, and it wasn't done bal korcho, he wasn't forced into the situation, but he walked into the situation willingly, so then automatically, whatever is going to occur will happen. If the purpose of Nisuin is simply to create the state of being, that the woman is bevei sabal, so then as long as the husband willingly did the maisa bia to create the symbolic reality that she's bevei sabal, so then it's done. If it wasn't bal karcho, so then we don't need his das. So even though kol abal daito al gmar bia, normally when a person does a bia, he has kavana that the gmar bia should be kone, but he doesn't have a right to stipulate when it comes to nisuin that the gmar bia is what should be kone, because the chalos nisuin is not dependent on him. He did a kinyan of kiddushin. The kinyan of kiddushin really should be chal completely. It's just this state of being that she's not bevei sabal prevents the kinyan of kiddushin from being chal completely. Once he brings the woman into his home, or he does a ma'isabia biratzen. He doesn't do it balkarcha. He does it biratzen. He agrees to do that ma'isabia. So now she's a state of being that she's bevei sabal. So then the kinyan of kiddushin is going to be chal completely. When is she bevei sabal? Not just besof bia, even betchilas bia. That's already a symbolic action that shows that she's bevei sabal. So since even tchilas bia is a symbolic action that can show that she's bevei sabal, then that's enough to allow the kingdom of Kiddushin to be chal completely. It's enough to remove the impediment that she wasn't bevei sabal beforehand, that now we view her as an eish yisish bevei sabal, then the kingdom of Kiddushin that was done way back when, that can be chal completely. So that's the difference between the bia of Nisuin and the bia of Kiddushin. The bia of Kiddushin is dependent on the das of the husband. This is a kinyan. So he can stipulate in his mind that kalabol daito al gmar bia. He's thinking of the gmar bia because that's the ikar. So he's thinking of the gmar bia. He doesn't want the kinyan of Kiddushin to be chal until then because his das is on the gmar bia. But that's only relevant when it comes to Kiddushin because the chalos of Kiddushin is dependent on the baal. When it comes to Nisuin, the chalos is not dependent on the baal. It's just a state of being. It's a state of being that she's bevei sabal, and that removes the impediment from the kinyan kiddushin to be chal completely. So as long as the bias nisuin was not done bal karcha of the baal, if it was done b'ritzono, then the state of being has been achieved. So it's not dependent on him. As long as the state of being has been achieved, even betchilas bia, then the impediment to the kinyan kedushin has been removed, and then the kinyan kedushin is going to be chal completely. Rabbi Shechter wanted to suggest that maybe based on this, we can explain this Tshuvas Rashi, that the seder of kedushin nisuin should not be ma'akev. If you assume that nisuin is its own kinyan, so then presumably the kedushin and the nisuin have to occur in two different stages in a certain order. First you do the kedushin, then you do nisuin. You can't go to step two before step one. But if the nisuin, if the act of nisuin is simply to remove the impediment for the kinyan kedushin, it's to make the woman beveis habaal so that the kinyan kedushin can be chal completely. So then the seder is not critical over here. Because if you do nisuin beforehand, it's not that anything is going to be chal at that time, but you've set into motion a process that now the impediment to the kinyan kedushin is never there to begin with. So at the time of the kedushin, everything is going to take effect in one fell swoop. It will all take effect bevas achas. It's not that the nisuin, that the halachas of nisuin are going to take effect first, and then the halachas of kedushin are going to take effect. It's that once the impediment has been removed before the kedushin has taken place, so then you're doing the kedushin beveis habal, as you say, and if the kedushin is done beveis habal, then all the halachas of ishus can be chal bevas achas. They all can be chal together. Maybe that's why the seder is not ma'akev between kedushin and nisuin. This idea that nisuin might not be a separate kinyan of ishus, second stage, a separate kinyan, but rather it's just the removal of the impediment for the kinyan kedushin to be chal completely, might relate to another issue as well. And that is, do you need eidei kiyum for the nisuin? Do you need eidim on the chuppah, on the yichud, on the whatever you're going to call nisuin? Do you need eidim on that? We know there's a halacha that kedushin requires eidim. Not just Adam Lubir Hadavah, let's say there's a Shaila later on, we want to know if there was a Kiddushin. So we need Adam to ascertain that the Kiddushin took place. The halacha is the Gemara in Kiddushin and Daf Samachay says that if you're not Makadosh with two Adam, there's no Chashash Kiddushin Bechlal. The Kiddushin isn't Chal. We know the Pasuk says, Apishnei Adam Yakum Davar, that for Dine Mamanus we need Shnei Adam. And the pasuk by Gittin and Kiddushin says Ki Matzaba Ervas Davar. It's actually a pasuk by Gittin, but we relate that to Kiddushin as well. We say there's a concept called Davar Sheba Erva. Gittin and Kiddushin are Dvarim Sheba Erva. So there's a Gzera Shava Davar Davar that we compare Davar Sheba Erva to Mama, just like Mama requires Edim, so Kiddushin requires Edim as well. It's a very interesting comparison because the type of Edim that we're talking about in Maman are Edim Lebir Hadavar, not Lekiyum Hadavar. Only to clarify the facts of the case. We want to know if a loan took place, we want to know if the mechira took place, so then we need Edom to ascertain, to be mevarer, the emes in the situation. The Edom for Kiddushin are not just lebir hadavar, they're lekiyum hadavar, meaning you need to be mekayim the maisa with Edom. You need Edom b'shas maisa, even if there'll never be any argument in the future. If we know for sure that there weren't Edom at the Kiddushin is null and void, it doesn't work. So it's a very interesting comparison. It's a light comparison between Davar Sheba Erva and Mamon, even though the type of Edom that you need for each is really a little bit different. But that's the din. The halacha is that you need Eidei Kiyum in order to create the Kiddushin to begin with. Not simply to be Mevara Sadavar later, but to be Mekayim Sadavar from the very beginning. So the question is, do you need Edom for Nisuin? For Nisuin, do you need Edom on the Yichud? Do you need Edom at the Chuppah? Do you need Edom for Nisuin or not? A number of Achronim discuss this. There's a suffix in the Or Sameach and Ilchas Ishus in Perek Yud. The Avne Miluim has a discussion about this, whether you need Eidei Kiyum for Nisuin. Some point out that the Tosus Rihazokin on the side of the Gemara Kiddushin on Daf Yudam Beis sounds like you do need Eidim. This is in Source 14. The Tosus Rihazokin says, Chupah Hishem Yachdin Shneyem Befnei Rabim Bevayes Echad Levadim Ve'edim Roen HaYichud. He says Beferish that Eidim have to see the Yichud. Interesting mocha. The Achronim have sveikas about this. They have diunim about it. The Rishonim, there is one sheet in the Rishonim that says explicitly that the Yichud requires Edim. What should the Shaila depend on, whether you need Edim for Chuppah or you don't need Edim? So the Chorot should depend on this issue. Rav Shach has in his Sefer on the Rambam, and some others have this idea as well. What's the purpose of Eidei Kiyum for Kiddushin itself? Right? What's the purpose of the Eidei Kiyum? So some say, Rav Chaim Reb Chaim had something similar to this in his sefer, that the purpose of the Edekiyim is to raise the level of das, to raise the level of consent of the parties in the kiddushin, of the chasen and the kala. That when you do a maisa, when you do an action publicly, it's more serious. So to raise the level of das of the participants in the maisa kiddushin, that's why it has to be done bifnei eidim. It's a pasuk, it's a gzeres shav, it's a gzeres hakasim, but the time of the krah, the purpose of it, is to raise the level of das of the participants so that they take it very, very seriously. So if that's the case, then perhaps there's reason to say that the suffix, whether you need edekim by nisuin or not, should depend on the shaila that we raised before. If you assume that nisuin is a kinyan of ishus, it's the second stage of kinyan of ishus, it's exactly like kiddushin. Kiddushin is a kinyan, nisuin is also a kinyan, it's just they accomplish different things. So if they're exactly the same, then the stomach, just like you need edekim for kiddushin, you should need edekim for nisuin as well. But if nisuin is just a state of being, it's simply bringing the woman into Beis Habal, that now she changes her status. Now she's no longer an Eishes Ish, Shelo Beis Habal, but now she's actually Beis Habal. It's just a state of being, but it's not an actual kinyan. It's not that the Baal is accomplishing something. It's not that that what he's doing requires his das, but rather it's a state of being. So then, just like he can't be master, he can't stipulate that the nisuin should take place only with a gemar bia, then so too there should be no reason to have edekiyim on the nisuin. As long as he does what he's supposed to do, as long as the state of being has been accomplished, that the woman is bevei sabal, so then the kinyan kiddushin can be chal completely. It's not dependent on the husband. It's not dependent on the woman per se. It's just a state of being. They both have to enter into bevei sabal together willingly. It can't be balkarchem, but as long as it's not balkarchem, it's not really dependent on their das. Because it's not a kinyan, it's just a state of being. It's a removal of the impediment to the kinyan kiddushin. So if that's all that nisuin is, then it makes a lot of sense that you shouldn't need edekiyim. If the whole purpose of edekiyim is to raise the level of das, but you don't need das for nisuin. Just like you can't make a tanai in the nisuin, if you don't need das, you shouldn't need edekiyim for the nisuin either. So as long as the action is done, then that should be enough in order to remove the impediment to allow the kinyan kiddushin to be chal completely. So if you put two and two together, what should emerge is that even if one is going to be machmer to have edekiyim for nisuin, it should be enough to have edekiyim for chuppah and for yichud. But for the badekin, there should be no reason to have edekiyim. Some lately have been machmer for the badekin too. They pull the edim in there also. You can get trampled by everyone dancing there, but they have respect for the Balei Simcha. They have to go up to, you know, the chassan's going to go to Badek the Kala, and the parents are going to come as well. The fathers are going to come to give a bracha to the Kala. But some are makbid that the Masada Kedushin pulls the Eidim in so that the Eidim can see the Badekin. What's the purpose of that? So the answer is the machmir, that they assume that chuppah, that nisuin requires edekiyim, and if there's a suffix, whether Badekin is the nisuin, then you need edekim for the badekin as well. But at first glance, if you put everything together, all that we're discussing, it doesn't really make sense. Because if you assume that the badekin is nisuin, then you're clearly of the opinion that nisuin is not an independent kinyan. Because if it were an independent kinyan, it couldn't come before kiddushin. The order would have to be specifically kiddushin and then nisuin. So if you assume that the badekin can come first, and the seder is not ma'akev, and the seder is not ma'akev, you must be assuming, like the Rav, that nisuin is simply the removal of the impediment to allow the kinyan kiddushin to be chal completely. It's not dependent on the das of the individuals. As long as it's not balkarchem, everything is fine. As long as she's bevei sabal, then that's fine. So what you're assuming is that the way that the badekin works is not that it accomplishes anything at that point in time. It's just she's already bevei sabal, so when she does the kiddushin, then the entire kinyan ishus can be chal at one time, v'asachas. So then what's the purpose of having edekiyim at the badekin? It's not dependent on the das of the individual. It's just it's a removal of the impediment. There's no chalos occurring at that time. So just, if you look at the svaris, you put the svaris together, it doesn't really seem to make sense to require edekim for the badekin.
Question?
Yes.
Regarding this whole issue of badekin, the one who suggests that badekin is, in fact, nisui, are they suggesting that it is the actual nisui, or that it could be nisui, to the exclusion of everything else?
You're saying there could be other things that can accomplish nisui.
Say that the chuppah and to be nichnas inside Beis Habal, that that is not nisui, that's a huge fish.
No, to go, when she goes to the Beis Habal, that can definitely be nisui. The question is, are we doing nisui at the chasna?
Right.
Right? Are we doing Nisuin at the chasana itself? Or do we say that we're doing Nisuin only later? I think the Sfaradim don't have a yichud at the chasana. So I'm not sure if they consider the chuppah to be Nisuin. I doubt it. That's quoted by the Ramah. I mean, the Shulchan Aruch. Sorry? Right. So the Ramah quotes different opinions in the Rishonim. The Mordechai, who seems to mention this idea of Beken, so that's his opinion. Is he saying Dafka Badeken as opposed to other things? I'm not sure. I doubt it. I mean, you know, there were different... Whether he was saying that it's Dafka Badeken, that might be irrelevant, because if the Ramah passes that there are different Shitas, so the Minig clearly is to assume that Chuppah is the Nisuan. That's our Minig. But those who are Machmir to do the Badeken are assuming that the Badeken is accomplishing something. What, they're just doing it for the photo op?
And the quote, you know, the Mordechai from Rashi, which Rashi, we don't have documented that Rashi himself said, we only have the Mordechai during the Nisuan.
Right.
That sounds like a B.E.V. situation.
Yeah, but why did Rashi say that you shouldn't even bother to do the chuppah again? If there's a reason,
well, you can still do chuppah.
You can do chuppah again. It's not so difficult. Right?
It says mabakat. It says there's no point in it.
Right.
Mabakat means.
No. But mikan ulahaba. We want to make sure there's a full kinyan issues. Why not do the chuppah again? Rashi is saying there's mamish no point. So he seems to be assuming the Nisuin is not a separate kinyan, but rather it's a removal of the impediment that allows the kinyan kedushin to be chal b'vasachas. So he's saying it's just not necessary, it's totally irrelevant. So I'm just pointing out that if you assume that the Badekin is Nisuin, then what kind of Nisuin is accomplishing? The Chor is just a removal of the impediment, because you can't have Nisuin before the kedushin. Others want to say there's a simpler reason why we're not machmer for him by Badekin, because it's only a chumra ba'alma. Maybe that's along the lines of what you're saying. It's a chumra ba'alma to do the Badekin as well. The simple Nisuin is what we call chuppah. So the whole Badekin is a chumra ba'alma, and to have a dekiyum for Nisuin is also a chumra, because it's a suffix, it's not clear that it's necessary. Okay, there's one sheet in the Rishonim that we showed requires it, but not every Rishon requires it. It's really a suffix in the Achronim. So a chumra gabi chumra, we don't have to be machmer so much for. That's the simpler reason for why we don't have Eidim for the Badek. Okay. Tosis and Makkos and in Sanhedrin ask a very famous question. They say, how can we have a chasana with the relatives right there? You're going to do the kiddushin right in front of the relatives. Shouldn't that be a problem of the Eidus? That nimtzecha me'am karv apostle, Eidus kulan b'teila. Did you want to have Eidim on the Kiddushin? We said that you need Eidim. It's absolutely ma'akev in the Kiddushin. Without two Eidim, the Kiddushin is null and void. So, fregentaisvis, there should be a problem at every chasana. We have krovim. We might even have psulim. I hope not. But, you know, but certainly you have krovim at the chasanas. If they see the ma'isa Kiddushin, that should passel the Eidus. If nimtzecham yam karv apostle Eidusin b'teila, so then you're not going to get off the ground. The whole Kiddushin can't get off the ground. So Tosis answers that he doesn't think it's a problem, because the only time that there's a tzerif akat, the only time that the Eidim combine together, is first of all if they have kavana lahayid, they have intention to testify, and they come to Bezdin. Only when they come to Bezdin, they have intention to testify, then there's a tzerif akat, then the Eidim come together. But just because they saw a maisa together, there's no tzerif akat, there's no combination of the Eidim together. We don't look at them as one unit. So just because there's a karov, just because a karov saw the maisa together with a kosher, we don't say the karov is now going to passel the kosher. That the karov seeing the maisa is going to be a problem. Because the idea of nimtzecham yam karov apostle eidusim b'teila means that if you have a karov apostle in the kat, in the group, in the unit of Eidim, then there's a problem. But the tzirif akad, when does the kat come together? That's only when they come to Bezdin, says Taisis. When they come to Bezdin, they have a kavana to be made. The Ritvan Kiddushin on Daf Mem Gimel disagrees. He has a famous sheet that he says that might be true. What Tosis is saying might be true for Eidei Birur, Eidim of Dine Mominis or Dine Nefoshes. There, the purpose of the Eidim is to clarify the truth. Where do we clarify truth when it comes to Dine Mominis and Dine Nefoshes? We clarify in Bezdin. So the Tzir Fakat for Nefoshes and Mominis, that's going to be in Bezdin. But when it comes to Kiddushin, what Eidus are we talking about? That's not Eidei Birur, that's Eidei Kiyum. You need Eidim to be Mekayim Esadavar Bishas Maisa. So what's the critical moment? The critical moment by Dini Nefashis and Dini Maman is that's when they come to Bezdin. The critical moment for the Eidim. But the critical moment in Kiddushin is not when they come to Bezdin. The critical moment is Bishas Maisa Kiddushin. the Shas Re'iya is the key. Because we're not coming to be Mevaris Adav, we're coming to be Mekayim Adav. You have to raise the level of Das of the participants, B'Shas Maisa. So says the Ritva, he thinks that Tzir Fakat, when it comes to Kiddushin, should be B'Shas Re'iya, B'Shas Maisa. And then it really should be a problem that if you have Krovim, B'Shas Maisa, they should pasel the whole Kiddushin. Should be a problem. It's a real problem, says the Ritva. To the Ketos HaChoshen, and Simon Lamed Vav says, according to the Ritva, the only way to obviate this problem is to be Miyached Edim, to designate Edim. Not that the Chosen has the ability to pasel the Edim that are Krovim, but he designates Edim Ksherim to be in a separate cut. That the Edim, they call up the Edim to be Edik Kiddushin, they are designated separately. Other people can be Meyer too, but it doesn't matter if they're Krovim, if they're Psulim, if they're Ksherim, it doesn't matter, because the Chosen is designating these two Edim to be separate from the other people. So the Krovim in the audience are not going to pasel these Edim because they're a separate cut. According to the Ritva, that the Tzir Fakat for Kiddushin is at the time of the Kiddushin itself, B'Shas Re'iya, that's the critical moment. So then we have to make sure that the Edim Ksheim are in a separate cut at that moment, because if not, then Nimtzecha Mem Karva Pasel Edusin B'Teile is going to be Mevatel there. So this is another Chumrah that's done. I heard in Europe they didn't do this. They would just do the Kiddushin in front of everyone. But lately, there are many who are machmer to call up the Edim. I think everyone is machmer to call up the Edim, not just to give people a kibud, but there's a halacha involved to ensure that these two Edim are going to be a separate cut. They're Edim Ksherim. We have to make sure that they're Edim Ksherim, and they're not related to Chosin and Kalo, to each other, and then they're a separate cut from the Krovim and the Psulim in the audience, and they'll be able to be made on the Kiddushin. Rabbi Soloveitchik was machmer to say to the exclusion of all others. I think Rabbi Shechter said that he didn't mean to say that all other Edom are psulim. He just meant to say that they're designated in a separate cut from everyone else. Right? Because the chosin really doesn't have an ability to passel other people, to say that they can't testify. It's just, it doesn't matter. As long as the chosin creates this separate cut, and that should be sufficient. Others don't say to the exclusion of everyone else. The fact that you're calling the Edom up, that means that you're designating them to the exclusion of everyone else. The Rav wanted to be explicit about it, so that's why he added that extra lashon. But bipshuto, it's not really necessary to add that lashon. Just the fact that they're designated, that's enough to say that they're separate everyone else. So at the time of the chuppah, we have two brachas: there's a birchas erusin and a birchas nisuin. Birchas Erusin is a Bari Pri HaGofen, and then a bracha on the Kiddushin, and then the Birchas Nisuin is the Sheva Brachas. The Birchas Erusin is a Shaila in the Rishonim, exactly what it is. The Rambam in Sur 16 holds that the Birchas Erusin is a Birchas HaMitzvah on the Kiddushin, that just like you have to make a bracha before every mitzvah, so too on the Erusin you make a bracha before the mitzvah. And the Rosh in Sur 17 disagrees and says the Birchas Erusin is not a Birchas HaMitzvah, it's a Birchas HaShevach. At the end of 17, it's a Birchas HaShevach, it's not a Birchas HaMitzvah. We thank HaKadosh Baruch, we praise Him for giving us this opportunity of having a Jewish Ishus, a different kind of Ishus. So aside from the Birchas Eris in itself, there's a Bar Pri HaGofen that's recited beforehand. And there's a Bar Pri HaGofen that's recited as the first of the Sheva Brachas. The Pesachei Tshuva in Hilchas Kiddushin quotes from the Pnei Yeshua and his Kuntras Achron Teksubas. The Pnei Yeshua had a suffix. He didn't know whether the Masada Kiddushin can be Motzi, the Chosin and Kala, in the Bar Pri HaGofen of the Birchas Erusin. Why? Because the Bar Pri HaGofen of Birchas Erusin is not part of the Iker Takana of the Birchas Erusin. It is a later Mig of the Gaonim. It's not in the Gemara. The Bar Pri HaGofen of the Birchas Nisuin, that's part of Sheva Brachas. That's the first of the seven Brachas. So that's part of the Iker Din. But the Bar Pri HaGofen of the Birchas Erusin was a later minig, so it could be that it's not a davar shebechova. It's not a requirement. It's not really an ikar part of the Birchas Erusin. So maybe the rule of yotza motzi should not apply to the Bar Pri HaGofen of the Birchas Erusin. We know that there's a principle that if someone is being yotze in a bracha themselves, so then Shomea Kaona tells me that I can make the bracha, I can drink, I can eat, and you can eat and drink based on my bracha as well. But if I'm making a bracha for you and I'm not going to be drinking at all, so if it's a bracha shebechova, if I'm making a bracha and I'm not going to be yotzei myself, let's say I was yotzei this bracha previously, but you still have to be yotzei, so then if it's a bracha shebechova, then I can be motzi you even if I'm not being yotzei myself. But if it's not a bracha shebechova, if it's a birchas hanenin, I didn't, you know, I'm making a hamotzi, but I'm not going to eat, so then I can't be motzi you. If it's shomer ka'one, if I'm being yotzei myself, then I can be motzi you as well. But if I'm not being yotzei myself, then I can't be motzi you in a davar sheberushus. So the Pnei Yeshua has a suffix in the Kuntres Achron and Ksubis, can the Mesada Kiddushin be motzi the chasen and kalami din yotzei motzi in the bar per gofen of the Birchas Erisin? Since it's only a later minig, it's not part of the Birchas Erisin itself. It's not medina de gemara. So maybe we don't view it as a davar shebechova. It's like a Birchas Hanenin ba'alma. It's like a bar per gofen stam. So by a bar piragof and stam, you can't be motzi someone else unless it's shomer kohen, unless you're actually drinking. So if the Masada Kiddushin is not going to drink, then it shouldn't work. So that's the suffix the Pnei Yeshua has. The Sefer Afikayam, a beautiful sefer that collects a lot of lomda shetaris, and Chelik Beis Simen Beis, he says he was troubled by this shaila. So he asked Rav Simcha Zelig, the Dayan and Brisk, what he thinks. Does the Masada Kiddushin have to drink a little bit from the Birchas Erisin, from the cup of the Birchas Erisin, in order to be motzi chasen and kala, because the chasen and kala are definitely going to drink. So does the Masada Kiddushin have to drink? So apparently Rav Simcha Zelig told him Rav Chaim was no way to drip a little bit from the cup of the Birchas Erisin on his fingers, so that he'll be able to be toim to taste a little bit from the Birchas Erisin, because he was choshesh for this. He was concerned that maybe we don't say yatsa motzi by the bar piagofen of the Birchas Erisin, because it's not medina de gemara. So the Masada Kiddushin won't be able to be motzi lechasen akala unless there's shomer ka'onah. That's what Reb Chaim did. But it sounds like for the Birchas Nisuin, it's not necessary to do that. You look in the Afikayam. He quotes that it was another Talmud Chacham that was makbid to drip on his fingers, even for the Birchas Nisuin. He got the Bar Piagofen of the Sheva Brachas, and he dripped on his fingers as well. But it sounds like Reb Chaim was not makbid. It was only makbid for the Birchas Erisin. Why? Based on this logic, that since the Bar Piagofen of Birchas Erisin is not Medina de Gemara, it's a later minig, so it's not viewed as a Davar Shebechovah. And you can't say the rule of Yatzamotzi by that Bar Piagofen. But for Birchas Nisuin, since the Bar Piagofen is part of the Sheva Brachas, that's Medina de Gemara, that's a Dava Shebechova. It's a Dava Shebechova that the rule of Yatzamotzi can apply, even if the Masada Kiddushin is not drinking at all, he can be Motzi, the Chasen and Kala. The Aruch HaShulchan points out that the Minig, Bizman HaZeh, is that even for the Birchas Erisin, we're not Makbid. We're not Makbid, the Minig is that the Masada Kiddushin does not drip on his fingers. He doesn't drip on his fingers, but rather he just makes the bracha, and the chosin and kala are the ones who taste. They're the only ones who taste. He says in the last line of source 19, ki eina minig etzlenu shamavarech ishta ela chosin ve'akala tomin ma'ad. All minig is that the Masada Kiddushin, the mavarech, does not drink from the birchas erisin at all, but rather the chosin and kala are toin. Why is that? So the answer probably is that now, since we have been knowing for a long time to make a bar piagofen on the Birchas Erisin, it's become a davar shebechova. Originally, when it was a minig of the Gaonim, it wasn't viewed as a davar shebechova, but now it's viewed as a davar shebechova because it's so much a part of the Birchas Erisin. So once it's a davar shebechova, the din of Yotza Motzi can apply, and then the Masada Kiddushin can be motzi the chasen kala, even if he doesn't drink from the bar piagofen bichlal. How much is one supposed to drink from the kos? That's another important shaila. So we know hamavarech tzarech sheyitom, that on the kosher bracha, the mevarich is supposed to drink a little bit. Someone's supposed to drink. How much does he drink? So the rule is he has to drink melo lugmov. That's a shear of chashivas. The Rishonim explained melo lugmov is rove of a revius in an average person, most of a revius, a cheekful. So presumably for the Birchas Nisuin, since the Bar Piagofen is taka medina de gemara, you should drink melo lugmov. A person should, the mevarich should drink a melo lugmov. For the Birchas Erisin, since it's only a minig, maybe there's not as much of a requirement to drink a melo lugmov. Maybe you could just be toim a little bit. The problem is, if you'll drink a melo lugmov from the Birchas Nisuin, then you have a shayla of a bracha achrona, because it's not clear whether the sheer melo lugmov is enough for bracha achrona. Some say you need more than melo lugmov to be chayv in a bracha achrona. Some say you need a kezayis, you need a revius, you need a little bit more than a cheekful. So what is one to do? You have a safek in a bracha achrona, what are you going to do? So some actually drink a shear. I was at one chasana where the chasan after the chuppah, he sat down and made a bracha achrona. I kid you not. I've only seen this once in my life. The minig is not to do that. So why don't we make a bracha chana? Why aren't we machmir to eat it, to drink enough so that you can make a bracha chana? Some suggest that maybe we're makil for the shita in Hilchas Kiddush. There's one shita that says that the shir malo lugmav doesn't have to be drunk by one person, but rather multiple people can be mitzarif together. That as long as they drink a malo lugmav between all of them, that's enough. So that's what they do. That the chasan and the kala are both drinking a little bit together, and together it's a malo lugmav, it's the right shir. So that's why they don't make a bracha achrona, because they're not drinking a shir bechlal. There's no suffik bracha achrona, because if it's less than malo lugmav, then there's no suffik that you have to make a bracha achrona. I'll just point out that that's just not the minig. The minig is that the chasan and kala really just taste a little bit. They don't drink a malo lugmav between the two of them. So Bipshuto, right? The simple understanding is that that's not the right thing. They really should drink enough. That each one should drink a half a cheekful. They should drink something significant so that between the two of them they get a full cheekful. Because that's the din. There really should be a te'ima. If the te'ima is viewed as a malo lugma, that's the sheer te'ima, so then they should drink a malo lugma between the two of them. I don't know many chasanim and kalas that are really makbid for this. Most chasanim and kalas, they just taste a little bit from the coast. They don't drink enough. The better thing to do would be to drink a malo lugma between the two of them. Then they won't have a suffik of bracha achrona, but they'll drink enough for the din of mevarach tzarech sheyitam. And finally, we know that we make a bar piagafen both on brichas eres and the brichas nisuin. So the shaila was raised: why do we do that? We make a bar piagafen for the brichas nisuin after we just made a bar piagafen a few minutes before. Isn't that a bracha shein etzvicha? So that's what the Rama quotes. In Suas 21, the Brichas Erisin, the Brichas Chasanim, Omer Mosal, Shtei Kosos, Afilu Makaj B'Shas Achuba, V'Nogin LaHafzik B'Neim B'Kriyas Haksuba. We're knowing to be mafzik a little bit. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that we're mafzik, first of all, with the Kiddushin itself. That's one hafzik between the Bar Piagofen of Kiddushin and the Bar Piagofen of the Nisuin. But Rashi was knowing, the Hagos Maimon, he quotes from the Chuvas Rashi, that's the source of this Ramah, he was knowing to be mafzik with the reading of the Ksuba. The Ksuba, you don't have to run through it. You can read it slowly and carefully. It's a nice kibbutz to give to someone. If you read it slowly and carefully, it serves as a hefzik. Still a chiddush, because it's not that much time between the Bar Piagofen of the Birchas Erisin and the Birchas Nisuin. But at least it's a little bit of a hefzik. So if it's a little bit of a hefzik, then the Bar Piagofen of the Birchas Nisuin won't be a bracha shenetzricha. It'll be kedasukid.